Do we know where we were on Christmas Day in 2014? Do you remember what you ate for the main meal on Christmas Day 2014? Do you remember how many presents you received on Christmas Day in 2014? Can you remember how many gifts you gave on Christmas Day in 2014? Was there snow on Christmas Day in 2014? If there was snow, how much was there? As people look at these questions, they will say, I don't know, that was 10 years ago. Who can remember that? If this were a test, most of us would fail. If we can't remember things from just 10 years ago, what about 2,000 years ago? This is, of course, the time of year when a lot of people are thinking about Jesus. The Lord came into the world. He died for the sins of mankind. And out of all the gifts that have ever been given, this is the greatest one of all. Humanity has received this wonderful gift. And the Bible tells us, God says to us, I want you to remember. I don't want you to forget my gifts. There are different ways to remember God's gifts, and of course, one of those ways would be weekly worship. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, talked about remembering God's gift, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me. This great gift, God says, I want you to remember this gift. Now, if we can't remember some things about a holiday from 10 years ago, how are we possibly going to remember this great gift from 2,000 years ago, the greatest gift of all? Well, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, we remember this gift in part by or through or with the Lord's Supper. God has told us what to use for this gift, remembrance, that is the Lord's Supper. He's told us when to do it. That would be on the day that we refer to as Sunday. And even though some people have perhaps not had a chance to study this, he's told us how often to do it. We know that from at least six texts in the New Testament. If you read through the 1 Corinthians letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2, especially the New American Standard Translation, that tells us the Corinthians, they were meeting. It not only tells us that they were meeting, it tells us that they were meeting every single Sunday. If you back up a little bit in that letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 20, you find that when they were having those Sunday meetings, when they were coming together every week, they were bringing the elements for the Lord's Supper. They weren't always using those elements for the Lord's Supper properly, but when they came together, they had the stuff for the Lord's Supper. And then if you back up just a little bit more, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, Paul said, what I have told you at Corinth, I teach in every church. Every congregation is getting the same information. That information is helpful when you combine those three passages together because it tells us that if weekly communion was practiced at Corinth, then the other places where people like the apostles, Paul and others, taught, they also practiced and had and instructed about weekly communion there as well. You see that picture demonstrated quite well in Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47. As the early Christians were engaging in worship, as they went through the process that had been directed by the apostles, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, doctrine, fellowship, and the breaking of the bread. That's the force of the original text. They were doing that on that regular basis that we read about in the Corinthian letter. Acts 20 and verse 7 talks about the fact that there was a congregation, Sunday came, and what did they do? They had the Lord's Supper. And then as you read through 1 Corinthians 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul talks about the Lord's Supper, he repeatedly uses present tense verb to describe the fact that this is an ongoing activity. The frequency of and for the Lord's Supper has been set by God. But even though he's done that, we can still be forgetful. Aside from God telling us to have the Lord's Supper each Sunday, how can we remember God's great gift? A couple of years ago, there was a preacher who wrote a very interesting article about the communion and the alphabet. This preacher said, I want you to know when it's time for the Lord's Supper, what I think about each week. And he said, to make it simple, I think about the alphabet. Every time, apparently, when this man has the Lord's Supper, the ABCs come to mind. He said he starts with the letter A, and he will, as he thinks about the letter A as his beginning point, he will try as he's having the memorial for the Lord's Supper, he'll try to come up with words which begin with A. After he spends a little time there, he'll move to B and then C, and then he'll go right on down the list. Here, as he talked about what he does, he gave some of the A words that he's come up with when it's time for the Lord's Supper. His mind has sometimes turned to the word abuse. Sometimes he's thought about alone, anxiety, atonement, adversary, abandon, anger, anointed, able. Well, one of the things that he didn't apparently include on his list is the word amazing. If you want to go through the ABCs, if you want to start with A and see how far you can go, that might be an appropriate word. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, it's a well-known verse, for God so loved. It was an amazing gift as far as sending Jesus into the world. Gifts are given for a lot of reasons. Sometimes a person receives a gift because it's needed. It might be that a gift is given to help remember or commemorate an event. But there are other times, especially this time of year, where someone looks at a person and says, I love you, I have this special relationship with you, I care deeply for you, and it is because of that love I am giving you this gift. We may not try to go through the alphabet every time we partake of the Lord's Supper, but I would challenge you, maybe sometime in 2025, try this and see how far you can get. It's interesting to me that as I read about this, as far as the article from this preacher, he works with a very large congregation. At the time, it was a congregation of, I think, well over 400 people. And he said there was never a Sunday where he was able to get all the way to Z. I don't know how far he got, but he at least got through some of the letters. In this study, we're going to go through, Lord willing, half of the alphabet today and finish this material up next week. As we move down a little bit more, we've got, of course, the next letter, and that's going to be the letter B, and I'm letting that stand for brave because of Mark chapter 10 and verse 32. And they that followed were afraid. When Jesus was going to Jerusalem to die on the cross, there were some people who followed him. Now, you might think if you had nothing else in the text that that would indicate that these people were courageous. They were brave. They were willing to go, even though that might not have been the easiest thing to do because of the opposition. Mark 10, though, tells us that these people also had some fear. God's gift to us was brave. As deity, Jesus knew what his life would be like before he ever stepped foot on this earth. Before he came to planet earth, he knew how he was going to die. Yet with that foreknowledge, he was not hesitant to come. Jesus came willingly. He knew that there were powerful people. In fact, most of the world was going to be allied against him. He knew full well how his life was going to end. Out of all the times that we have partaken of the Lord's Supper, have you ever thought about how brave Jesus was? That would be a good thought. That could be your entire thought. For some, this, of course, would be a new thought. If we don't typically associate bravery with God's great gift, we might not make this connection either. C, I'm letting that stand for criminals. Criminals were associated with God's gift. When God gave the ultimate gift, when God gave the best gift in the universe, when he decided to have that sacrifice made, which allows us to be freed from our sins, he permitted two criminals to be placed beside his most precious gift. Our world would never, ever think of packaging a gift in this kind of way. But this was how God packaged it, and this is how this gift is presented to us. How could something so pure, so wonderful, so magnificent be connected somehow with criminals who deserved execution? As strange and as odd as this decision was, as weird as these details may seem, the Bible gets even stranger. Two criminals were not only executed along with the Lord, this great sacrifice, this wonderful gift, but we also have this information. One of those criminals will be saved from an eternal hell. God says, I'm going to give you my eternal gift. And look who is going to be here right alongside him. Somebody else is going to be spending the next 3 days together with him. If we ever encounter somebody who thinks that they are not worthy to partake of the Lord's Supper, and sometimes there are people who believe that, may I suggest to you that you simply say, could I share the ABCs with you? Well, what do you mean? Give them an A word that's connected with communion. Give them a B word that's connected with communion. But when you get down to C, you talk about the criminals that were crucified along with Christ. And you can tell them, this C should remind you that if this man was unworthy and still saved, whatever you have done, whatever you're thinking, you're not going to be any worse. If God's gift could involve a criminal worthy of the death penalty, he can save us, he can forgive us, and he would want us to partake of this supper as well. D, there might be a number of words that come to mind as we think about the Lord's Supper. I selected the word devil. When we think about God's supreme gift, do we ever consider how someone tried to take it away from us? Someone tried to ensure that we didn't have access to it? Imagine, especially this time of year, maybe you've been hoping for a gift, especially if you're a young person, maybe you've been begging for a gift, you've been pleading for a gift, you've been dropping hints for months, and there is some gift that's really important to you. You've talked about it, you've sent emails, you have almost built a portfolio for the gift. And yet, even though you've done that, there is someone in your life who is trying to keep you from getting that gift. The devil would literally be thrilled if every single person rotted in an eternal hell. God ensured, though, that the devil was not going to be able to undermine or destroy his precious gift. If you've never thought about the devil when you partake of communion, that might be a new thought for you as we prepare to enter into a new year. E, that's going to stand for everyone. Have you ever been in a position, maybe especially the younger years, where somebody got a gift? And as they opened that gift, you thought, wow, I sure would like one of those. I've looked back as far as preparing this information over some Christmases, and I'm sure I've forgotten more about Christmas gifts than I'm ever going to remember. But I do remember one year. I do remember one year where my sister and I both got a very nice chalkboard. My sister opened up her chalkboard first. It was a very large chalkboard, probably about 3 by 3, almost those basic dimensions. I was probably about 10. And as I saw the package, I thought, that's nice. And then after she opened that package up, I thought, I wish I would have gotten one of those. I like that gift. I wish that would have been over in my stack. There were plenty of presents for me, but I had really wanted a chalkboard, and it so happened that there was one for me. When it comes to God's supreme gift, who gets it? I'd like to know, wouldn't you? The Bible answers that question. Every single person has access to God's gift. There's not one that's left out. We all have access to the benefits of Christ's death. The gift is not limited to males or females. It's not limited to the young or the old. It's not limited to our income or where we live or anything else. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 says, God does not want a single person to perish. His arms are wide open. Every single individual can be saved. If we are not cleansed from our sins by the power of Christ's blood, if the sacrifice of Christ does not benefit us and help us into an eternal relationship with God, it's going to be our fault and not the fault of anyone else. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we need to remember that that gift is available potentially to all people. F, we're going to use the word flog for that. Sometimes gifts can be costly. They can be extremely costly. I've seen people spend literally hours shopping for a single card. There have been people who have spent months looking for a particular gift. A few years ago, Beth wanted to know what I wanted for Father's Day. Didn't really need anything, didn't really want anything, but she pressed me. So I just happened to find some intriguing doorstops. I don't even remember where I saw them. So I sent her a link. Didn't really think too much about that. And the present was delayed. It took a long time to get it. Well, it turned out, unbeknownst to me at the time, that 2 doorstops were made by some woodworker in the country of England. I didn't see that detail at the time in the listing, and I wouldn't have asked for them, and she didn't tell me about that until the doorstops arrived. The shipping for the gift probably cost 10 times the price of the woodworking. I suspect that I'm the only person in the United States who has 2 wooden doorstops from a woodworker in England. As we think about Jesus' death, it cost him something, though, that wasn't time. It cost him something, though, that wasn't money. Jesus' death cost him a whipping. It cost him a beating. And it was the kind of whipping which caused some people to die from it. He didn't, but others did. And that beating is what we deserve for our sins. God's magnificent gift has saved us from a degree, from a level of misery that we cannot begin to imagine. If you were to go through the alphabet, when you get down to G, the word grace might come to mind. God's gift to us is an act of supreme grace. God gave to us what we could and would never deserve. Sometimes people will receive a gift because they deserve it. There are times where people merit a gift and they say, you have earned this and this is why you're getting this. But Jesus didn't come into the world and give his life because we are good people. We're not. Sometimes a person will say, oh, you're such a good person. From God's perspective, that is never true. In fact, in Romans chapter 5, Paul says that we are enemies. We are not God's spiritual allies. Sin makes us the enemies of God. If we go through the alphabet, or even if we don't, grace is always important as we think about communion. Titus 2 and verse 11, the grace of God is available for all people. H, we're going to let that stand for hours. When it comes to getting gifts, people can wait for a long time. They might wait weeks or days. Maybe they wait months. Maybe they even wait years. Supposedly, sharing one more little story as far as my sister and I in Christmas time, my family talks about a Christmas where my sister and I were apparently quite young. We didn't want to wait until Christmas Day to open the gifts. So according to a story that I don't personally recollect, we unwrapped all the gifts. We wanted to see what we were going to get. We couldn't wait, so we unwrapped them all, checked out what we got, and then wrapped them back up. And somehow I suspect that Mom and Dad knew. Out of all the times that we have taken communion over the years, Have we ever thought about Jesus 6 hours on the cross? Look at it this way. If you're someone who has ever worked an 8-hour day, or maybe that's the number of hours you typically work in a day, Jesus was on the cross for nearly a full workday. That's how he spent one of the days of his life. God's gift literally involves 6 hours of absolute brutality. Knowing, understanding that part of a sacrifice helps us realize why the Bible teaches weekly communion. God's gift is too great, too magnificent to remember once a year, twice a year, once a quarter, or once a month. For Isaiah chapter 53. As you think about God's gift, it was so magnificent that it is a subject of Old Testament prophecy. Texts like Isaiah chapter 53 tell us that Jesus was coming and he was going to be the most magnificent gift of all. We may, as we think about Isaiah chapter 53, have other verses come to mind. Or hear other passages before the elements are passed. But as you think about the Lord's Supper, whatever goes through your head, do you sometimes think about the fact that there are many Old Testament prophecies which predict the coming of Christ? God's gift was so special, so unique, so important that it was spoken of literally hundreds of years in advance by multiple writers. If you go through the alphabet to think about communion, you'll get to the word J. We're allowing the word J to stand for Jews. There were a number of Jews who, for at least a period of time, they greatly misunderstood God's gift. They didn't get it. They needed a lot of clarification and help. In fact, there were Jews who called for Jesus' death. Had we lived back then, we might have done the same thing. We might have reasoned just like they did. If we have found the truth and we're not in the dark, so to speak, as these Jews were, we should be very, very grateful. We should also be grateful that the Jews, like the devil, did not prevent God from giving his gift. We may even keep in mind that people like the Jews need to hear the truth so that they too will be able to participate in God's precious gift. Moving down a little bit more, we've got K for King. You may remember that when Jesus was crucified, there was a sign associated with this cross. And that sign said that Jesus was King of the Jews. Well, that was true. He was King of the Jews. But as you think back to that sign, as you think about who Jesus is, he was king over more than the Jews. He's king over the entire universe. He is Lord of all. And he's not only king, but he says to each person who wants to be his child, his spiritual offspring, he says, the inheritance that I have, I want you to share in that inheritance as well. Can you imagine receiving not just a gift from a king, the king of the universe, but the king says, I want you to be someone who co-reigns with me. All the things that I have, you are entitled to them as well. This is the time of year where people are thinking about gifts or they receive gifts, and oftentimes there's a lot of excitement. People are looking forward to a new bike, a new TV, a new computer, a new phone, or something else. The gift of God, though, is unlike anything we can begin to fully understand or imagine in this life. Our gift will allow us to one day live and reign with the King of the universe forever and ever. L, lift it up. To make this supreme gift possible, Jesus had to be lifted up. He was lifted up on the cross to a place of humiliation. He was lifted up on the cross to a place where he was crucified and people ridiculed him in his holy name. He was literally lifted up to die. After returning from the dead, he was lifted up to never again die and reign forever. Sometimes people offer service to a dead God. They worship a stick, they worship a stone or something else. But the saved serve a God who has truly been lifted up. It may not be difficult to imagine Jesus being lifted up to a cross, but imagine Jesus being lifted up to a place where Paul says in the Ephesian letter, as you look at the closing verses of Ephesians chapter 1, he is above all power, all rule, all authority, everything in the universe. Jesus is over it all. And then imagine our being lifted up with him to reign with him forever in eternity. Now, if you've been following along, put the alphabet there at the top. You can see, well, if there's L, we must have M next, and that's going to be the halfway mark, and that is right. I'm going to let M stand for memorial. Our world has a lot of memorials. Our world has a lot of celebrations. They want to point back to something, maybe in the distant past or the near past, and say, we need to remember that. The most important memorial, though, of all, is not for some soldier that died. It's not a memorial for people who have offered the world some great scientific breakthrough. The greatest memorial, the greatest celebration of all, is the Lord's Supper. It is that gift which continues to give. It is that universal gift. This time of year, it's always helpful to remind ourselves that the Bible never tells us specifically to celebrate the birth of Christ. The Bible is also silent when it comes to the time of year that Jesus was born. But the Bible does, though, tell us that there is a gift from God. Jesus did come. He certainly was born, whatever time of year that was. And we have this gift that we want to remember on a regular basis because that's what we're told. Now, you might be thinking, what about that first slide? Did you forget about that? No, let's go back to that. If you've never seen these 7 points, I'll tell you that a lot of older preachers used to preach these 7 points. In a lot of congregations in years past, people used to use these 7 points sometimes to talk about the Lord's Supper. And I'll tell you this, I don't know what goes through the minds of many as they participate in the Lord's Supper, but I know that there are at least some preachers who, when the Lord's Supper would be passed in their congregation, this is what goes through their head. Number one, there was one Lord, 2 thieves, 3 crosses, 4 soldiers, 5 wounds, 6 hours, 7 sayings. And there's nothing wrong with using something like this to focus on what we're doing. But with this lesson, and Lord willing, with what we're looking at next week, the letters of the alphabet also help demonstrate or illustrate the fact that there is a lot more going on than one Lord, 2 thieves, 3 crosses, 4 soldiers, 5 wounds, 6 hours, and 7 sayings. We have a great gift. It is a gift which is really indescribable. And why on earth would anyone not want to have that gift applied to their life? The blood of Christ! Better than any Christmas gift. Better than any other memorial. And God says to the world, here it is. You can access it. Faith, you've got to believe in it. You can't live like the devil and have it. You've got to repent. If you're willing to confess Christ, if you're willing to enter into the Lord, as Paul talked about in Galatians 3 and verse 27, God says, here is this gift. And this gift is going to be available to you 24/7, 365 days a year. And as John described in 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, it will cleanse you on a regular basis from every single sin. Never in the world could we imagine such a great gift. It's available to you if you don't have it, or if you had it and you've forsaken it. And today you want to reclaim it, or you want to become a Christian. We'd like to extend the opportunity to do either as we stand and sing.